Welcome to Above and Below, a Salt Life podcast, where we're going to be exploring above and below the surface. We'll take in a deep dive into the world of fishing, diving, and surfing. Every week, we're going to sit down with experts to learn more about them and get their freshest, hottest takes on all things salty. What is up, everyone? Welcome back to Above and Below, a Salt Life podcast. I am your host, Kieran Anderson, and we have Ryder DeVoe back on with us. Ryder, what's up, dude? How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on again, Kieran.
Absolutely, dude. What have you been up to? I haven't talked to you or seen you in a couple months. This is kind of a weird thing because I always see you.
Yeah, it's definitely been a minute. I've been doing a lot of stuff towards my career in aviation. That's been a big push for me lately. So I've been flying a bunch and sneaking out in the water on my days off. So that's what I've been up to.
Have you been fishing in a lot recently or no?
Not this past month, but previously, yeah, we did a bunch of stuff out by the islands.
Sick. Yeah, same with me. I've been fishing a lot and surfing. I just got out of the water a little bit ago, and it was really, really fun. The waves are insane. So that's what I've been up to. But dude, let's chat today, Ryder. Let's chat. This is my favorite person to talk to, you guys, because Ryder is a frother. He likes to surf, he likes to dive, and he likes to fish. He's living the salt life every single day. And now he's going to be flying, which is insane. But give us a little overview on yourself, Ryder, for the people that do not know you, where you're from, what you do, and your hobbies.
Gotcha. Yeah, my name is Ryder DeVoe. I grew up in Encinitas, California. And some things I enjoy are surfing, spearfishing, and boating. I spend a lot of time on the water with my family and friends, and we're always trying to put something on the boat fish-wise, so...
So we did a podcast, I want to say last year or the year before or something, and we were kind of chatting about harpooning, Ryder, and you guys have been getting after it.
Yes, we have. We have.
You actually are doing it now, because when you were building your boat, you're building a huge tower off the front, right? To like harpoon and stuff.
Yeah. It's called a plank. It's basically just a structure that goes off the bow of the boat, which allows you to walk anywhere from 10 to in some cases, 40 plus feet off the front, and gives you a platform where you could throw a harpoon at a fish.
Okay, so let's just go from the basics. What and why did you want to start harpooning?
Okay, what and why? So why? Swordfish, coolest fish in the ocean. Spent a lot of time thinking about these fish, just like a couple of my buddies. Probably too much time. And... yeah, so these fish, pound for pound, are probably the most badass fish in the ocean. They spend most of their life very deep depths, past 1,000 feet, feeding on squid, hake, other fish down deep. And they come up to the surface. Not all of them do, but some of them come up to the surface. And there's a controversy on why, but they do. Some of them will come to the surface and fin during certain tides. And that gives you an opportunity to see them, and it also gives you an opportunity to harpoon them if that's what you're going for. So once someone catches a swordfish, it's kind of hard to think about any other fish in the ocean besides them.
So why harpooning instead of actually fishing for these fish?
Yeah, well, I do both. My brother and I, we do both. But at the end of the day, standing on the front of a boat with a 12-foot harpoon in your hand, rigged to 600 feet of line and a bunch of buoys chasing a fish that's like 10 feet long, there's probably nothing cooler than that. So that's why.
Dude, I love it. It's so sick. And I love that you like wanted to do that. That was like one of your dreams, right? And aspirations, like I want to start harpooning. And now it's happening. Give me like the rundown on the setup that you guys have.
Yeah. So boat-wise, we're one of the smallest harpoon boats in the fleet. A lot of people said we couldn't do it because our boat was too small, which there's an argument, but you know, we make it happen. It's a lot of work, but we have a 22-foot harpoon boat with about a 14-foot plank off the front of it. And we have a little driving station up top where we have, if there's two or three guys on the boat, we'll all be up there in binoculars looking for pretty much all day, especially on the tides. We're looking through those binos nonstop, looking for any sort of sign. And once we do see a fish, if we do, because some days, in my boat, we're so low above the water, we've gone 10 trips without even seeing a fish, which is pretty brutal. But how it works, you spot your fish, you get the other guys to find it in the glass if it's far, And once everyone sees it and they know it's not a bird or a stick or whatever, I mean, there's sometimes we've thought fish were sticks or sticks, whatever, both ways.
They're fish sticks.
Yeah, fish sticks. So you find them in the glass, and once everyone kind of sees them in there, you lock on, and then you get one guy to kind of steer while you have two guys looking at the fish if possible. You don't take your eyes off the fish. Sometimes the fish will go down, back up. And as soon as you could get within range to eyeball it, basically meaning you can take your binos down and still see the fish, that's a big deal. So you've made it to your fish. You have a guy driving and you're both eyeballing the fish. One guy walks up to the plank, gets onto the plank with the harpoon and starts pointing at the fish. The other guy drives. And you're both never taking your eyes off this fish, because if you do, it could go under the surface and you might never see it again. And then how it works, you run up on the fish and you get it right underneath the plank, hopefully. Throw your harpoon into the fish, or if you can, just wedge it into the back of this fish. And the gear consists of, well, what we run is about 600 feet of line from your dart, which goes into the fish. So there's the dart, 600 feet of line, and then you have multiple buoys certain distance apart with a flagpole and a flag on there. And once you harpoon that fish, you let it out, put all your gear out, and immediately re-rig your harpoon and start looking for new fish. And you let that soak for a couple hours. You just, once the fish are up, you want to find more. So you immediately just start going looking for other ones.
So how big are those buoys that you're using?
They're small. I have probably two hard balls. They're around the size of a lobster buoy around here, but they're circle and hard. So I'll have two of those that are about 8 inches, and then I'll have like two 11-inch balls in the back, and then a flag ball. So when the fish is dead, usually the first buoy will be under and the second one's kind of on the surface and the line will be straight down. And that's when you can go and start pulling it up.
You guys just got a big one recently, didn't you?
Yeah, we got a couple nice ones this year.
What's the biggest one you've got so far?
Harpoon. It was 363 dress, so 363 pounds with no head, no fins, no guts, nothing. So well over 400 hole. But guys, like, guys get fish bigger than that.
Dude, how fun is that, though?
It's a lot of work, but when everything comes together, there's nothing better. There's nothing better fishing-wise, I gotta say.
How the heck did you get into harpooning? Like, I feel like you're just a frother and you probably knew somebody, but how did you get into it?
Yeah, so since I started fishing, I went a long time without ever seeing a swordfish, and it was kind of like swordfish are kind of a big deal, and they've become more common. Not that there's more fish, but more people are getting dialed in on how to target them. But when I was little, I had a friend, Ben Seacrest, who caught one actually on the surface, like baited it on the surface with a live mackerel. And I mean, arguably baiting swordfish is like the all holy grail, but that's how he did it. And swordfish had always been on my bucket list. I never saw them until since I started fishing, probably took me like over 10 years until I even saw my first swordfish. And yeah, I met a couple people who worked on harpoon boats and kind of mentored me. Before I even started, I would just kind of bug them and ask questions, because it's kind of hard to, you can't just like go harpooning. You have to be set up commercially and you have to have all the gear and you have to know where to find them. So, you know, once you get all the gear and you set up your boat commercially, that doesn't mean you're going to start harpooning swordfish. So I kind of committed and spent a lot of time working in the studios on movies as a set EMT, saving up money. And I don't know if it was the best idea, but I put a lot of that money I made into my boat and kind of just committed and bought the gear, outfitted my boat, and just started putting time in, listening to my kind of mentors that have been helping me out. And it eventually happened. There's a lot of trips with no fish. Seasons went by with no fish, but we're starting to figure it out.
Yeah, you said you had like a run of stretch that was like 10 trips without getting a fish. Talk to me about what the day consists of harpooning. Like, how early are you going, and are you staying out there the whole entire day, like a 24-hour day, or is it just like an afternoon session? Or yeah, give me the rundown.
Yeah, so We did 10 days without seeing a fish. We did 19 trips without, or 22 trips without catching a single fish. Yeah, it's, you know, we weren't making money. We were just losing money. And so how the day kind of goes, it depends. You can get out there the night before, but usually these boats that you go on are slower. They're older. And you drive slow, burn less fuel. So if you stick some fish, you're going to make money, right? But so you get out there early in the morning, depending on the tides. So you figure out when your tides are. And ideally, you want to be out there a little bit before the tide and fish pretty much through both tides. And what it consists of is you finding a zone you think would be good for these fish on the surface, and looking through your binos all day until it gets dark or you see a fish, basically. It's not for everybody.
Yeah, I would be so bored.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal. At first, like, I got all the gear and I was all excited and we'd put like 5 hours in the glass and not see anything, and you kind of get over it and you're like, oh, we'll go in. But it gets to the point where, you know, I kind of was like, all right, I'm going to treat this like as work as it is. If you get tired, whatever, you commit to a day or you commit to 3 days of fishing, you fish all day. If you don't see anything, great, whatever. That's like, you're just looking through the binos all day. And when you see a fish, you try to make it count, because I mean, that stretch, we didn't get anything. We ran a few fish and I missed, or they sank out and it just didn't happen, which sucked. It sucked.
Yeah. How much goes into it with like technique and like being able to throw the harpoon correctly and sticking them and stuff? Like, what kind of techniques are there to be able to actually harpoon a fish correctly?
Yeah. So a lot of it is in the boat driver. You know, the guy driving the boat needs to be skilled in a certain way. He needs to know how to run the fish. He needs to know what angle to run the fish if there's a lot of swell. Basically, the driver needs to set you up for your harpoon shot. If your driver can't drive the boat for swords, you're not going to get over the fish. So once you've got a good driver and he puts you over these fish, actual like harpooning wise, you want to aim behind the dorsal fin on its back, and you don't want to hit its spine, but you want to hit just to the right or left of the spine and kind of get that dart into the stomach cavity of the fish. So the mistakes I was making in the beginning was my boat's small, our plank is short. These fish would spook 10 to 15 feet off the bow of our boat. So on bigger boats, guys have it right underneath and they're just basically just sticking the harpoon right into the fish and pulling it out. On my boat, it's more of a harpoon throw. So the mistake I was making is I would see the fish and it'd be going across and I would kind of throw at an angle. So if, I don't know how to explain it, but when the harpoon hits at an angle, you might miss the fish because the refraction or whatever, or if you hit the fish, it's going to be at a weird spot. So what I had to start doing was basically wait for the fish to come under the plank or to the left, and I needed it swimming away, and I would kind of lob the harpoon down so it would enter the water more straight down than at an angle, and it would stick the fish because they're swimming away. So even if there is refraction, you're still going to hit the fish, and that's kind of what made a difference for me. And driving the boat faster, it depends on the boat.
So when you're talking about how like you actually use the harpoon and stuff, what components are a part of that harpoon? Is it kind of like a breakaway tip on a spear gun?
Yeah, it is. It's essentially the same exact thing. So you have like a 12-foot harpoon, and the harpoon has a line that's permanently attached to the harpoon, the back of the harpoon, and to the boat. So you have your harpoon attached to your line to your boat, and then your dart line, the slip tip goes onto the, like the adapter, the lilling iron of the harpoon, and that's a separate set of gear. So that tip goes on, and then there's line that runs down the harpoon. So once it goes all the way to the back of the harpoon, you use painter's tape to connect the line to the harpoon. So it holds it there, but it'll rip when the fish pulls, if that makes sense. It's a little confusing, but you have your harpoon, and then your tip, and then the line runs down the harpoon, and then you just put two pieces of tape that secures that line with the dart. So when you throw the harpoon, if you miss or you don't hit anything or you're just holding it, that dart's secure on the tip of the harpoon. But once that dart goes into a fish and it pulls, it rips the painter's tape, and then that detachable tip detaches and is connected to the fish, and the fish swims away and it starts pulling 600 feet of line out of a basket on the bow of the boat with buoys. That's how it works.
Are there different, obviously there's probably different size harpoons and stuff, right?
Yeah, there is. You can go as short or as long as you want. Just depends on preference.
And then what about the tips? Are there different tips that you can utilize?
Yeah, there's different styles, but they're all pretty similar. It's just like it's basically like a spear gun tip, but just shorter and wider. It's just a classic swordfish dart.
What are like the biggest challenges with harpooning for swordfish?
Finding them, for me, you know, especially on my boat, we're only about 7 feet above the water. Most harpoon boats, they're 20 feet plus above the water in a giant tower. So that makes a huge difference. And also most harpoon boats have an airplane spotting for them, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to start flying airplanes.
Are you serious? That's so rad.
Yeah. So finding the fish. And then once you find the fish in my boat, getting a dart in it because they spook, you know, we don't have the super long pulpit or plank to sneak up on these fish. So they're hearing our engine since it's only about 40 feet away from the front of the plank.
Yeah.
Or less.
So what kind of little tips and tricks have you noticed that help you when you're harpooning?
I'd say getting over more fish at first, you know, getting up on the bow with the harpoon, running up on your first swordfish ever. Like, it's pretty, I don't know, some people might handle it better than others, but my heart gets going pretty good. Like, my knees start, it's like that. I've caught a lot of fish, nothing quite like swordfish or just something else. And especially when that fish is free swimming, all purple with nothing attached to it, and you're getting up on the bow with a harpoon, like the first couple fish, I was a mess. So just time getting over fish, kind of getting numb to it. I definitely more confident on the front of a plank now than I was, I'm still super new and have a ton to learn. But just from the experience I have, I've definitely seen a big difference, since I've gotten over a few of these fish. And, you know, waiting for the right time to throw the harpoon is everything. So not a lot of people do this, so it's just kind of hard to explain. And that's one of the things that makes me like it so much. It's just, it's different. But yeah, I don't know. I'd say just time on boats with guys that know what they're doing is everything, like most things.
There's probably so many rules and regulations when it comes to harpooning. You were talking about commercially fishing for swordfish. Do you have to have a commercial license to be able to harpoon? And is swordfish the only species that you can harpoon?
So in the state of California, if you're going to be throwing a harpoon, your boat has to be commercial. You have to have commercial licenses. This isn't like a recreational thing. You have to have permits for this. So that answers that question. And for other species, it's kind of confusing. There's laws about, but I mean, swordfish is the main fish that people harpoon in California. So there's I've heard of people harpooning tuna, and you have to be a certain mile or a certain certain distance off of land. So I think there is a way to do it. I haven't done it yet. I would love to, but it does happen in California. Some guys have harpooned tuna, which would be awesome. But swordfish is the main species.
Give me your favorite story or memory from harpooning.
Yeah. Okay. I got a good one. Yeah.
You usually have good stories. Buddy, so.
Yeah, this is one of my better fish stories. So my buddy Connor Mazzola and I, we were going to go meet Brandon Wallers and go surf the islands one day. And we were like, let's fish swords the next day. So the plan was we were going to go out, surf that afternoon, eat some food, anchor up and surf before sunset, wake up and then go fish hard for swords the next day. And we didn't have a spotter plane or anything. And we got a really late start We were driving up from San Diego, and Connor decides to tell me that morning that his boards are at his buddy's house in LA. So we had to go pick up his boards, which I don't know. I thought he was just borrowing mine. Whatever. So it ended up working out for us. So we drive to LA, and by the time we get to his house, it's like gray light, and Brandon's like halfway to the islands by now, you know? And I thought it was going to be pumping. Like, I thought the swell didn't end up hitting like it was supposed to, but I thought it was going to be like, I thought I brought all the wrong boards. So I was like starting to get stressed out, and I was like thinking about borrowing this guy's like weird, like 9 foot, like fat gun thing he made. But I was like, so we were talking about that. And then we end up at this guy's house for like an hour, took way too much time, whatever. Finally get to the boat. Sun's up. We're like, let's just go get some food. We're just at this point, like, Brandon's already in the water. We haven't even left the dock. So we head out and we get kind of in the zone towards the islands. And I look at the time and I'm like, oh, the tide is in like 50 minutes. Like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go out towards this one zone and kind of glass around and then come in and then end up doing what we were doing that day, or meet our buddy wherever he was. And as soon as we got to the spot where I wanted to start, I put the boat in neutral and I look out the window, and like 5 feet from the right of the boat, I see something kind of spook and go down. I look at Connor and I'm like, that kind of like, that might've been a fit. Like, that looked like a swordfish to me, like the way it spooked. Connor's like, no, dude, no way. So I was like, all right, whatever. But I ran up on the plank, got the dart all situated, got the harpoon ready, and then got up in the tower, got in the binos, started glassing. I was like, it's probably just a mola mola, but I don't know, the way that tail kind of, it just like, I've seen fish do that before. And about 3.5 minutes into glassing, like a couple hundred yards out, I just see this thing just on the surface flagging, just up current, doing like figure eight. So I was like, oh, Connor, I got it. And he's like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah, I got it. I'm like, put the boat in gear and go fast and just go towards where my hand is. And it was pretty far out. Like, it took us a few minutes on plane to get to the fish. And Connor didn't even see it until we got pretty close. And then I'm like, do you see it? I want to take my binos down. He's like, oh, I got it. I'm like, for sure? And he's like, yeah, I got it. So I took my binos down and I saw the fish. And I was like, all right. So I run up onto the plank, and Connor hadn't driven my boat. We have a little jog lever. So I was like, whatever you do, just gun it and run the fish over, like, fast. So he guns it, runs the fish over. The thing comes in hot, turns left onto the plank, and I just chuck the harpoon and just drill the thing. And the thing just takes off. Yeah, I like get the harpoon back on the boat and the line just going out super fast. I was like, oh, we just nailed this thing. Like, we're not surfing. So we're like, everything's going out. And I like, by the time I get to the back of the boat, the thing had like taken so much line. I clip my lead on, because I just clip on a big weight to kind of tire the fish out. But I didn't realize how much line the fish had already taken in the basket. And we put the buoys out and we're like, okay. Fish is in the water. I think it was a good stick. I don't know. I think it was, because like, I'm throwing the thing. So it's like, I'm pretty sure it was good. Re-rig the harpoon, start glassing, whatever. We look for like four and a half hours. It starts to get towards evening. Don't see another fish. And I was like, okay. And we're like, let's go pull this fish. So we go over, try to pull it. And the thing's just hot. And the thing's just keeps swimming. And I was like, dude, like, when is it, like, whatever, like, we'll go in, went into the island, or towards the other island, or, yeah, we went in towards the island, kind of chilled for a little bit, and then went back out where the wind was kind of up, got to the fish, like, 2 hours later, thing's still trekking. I'm just like, I was like, all right, anyways, it gets dark, we have a strobe on the buoy following the fish, and it's about 10 o'clock at night, and I was like, all right, this thing's definitely dead. Go up, the flags are, or the balls, or the float straight down. I was like, perfect. Start pulling it up. Thing comes alive, just rips all the gear off the boat and just starts trekking. And our flag pulls like sideways and the fish is towing it like this. And we harpooned it at 11 in the morning. It's 10 o'clock at night. This thing's not slowing down at all. We tried pulling it at 4 a.m. The thing's just it's pulled this gear a couple miles and the sun comes up. This fish is still pulling our gear. Still pulling our gear. we finally got the fish to the boat 23 and a half hours later, and it was still kicking. and we put it on the boat.
How big was it?
Yeah, it was like 400 something pounds whole. So it wasn't our biggest fish of the season, but it was, I don't know, like I've heard of this happening. I've never seen it happen, but that fish, like pound for pound, I guess they have like more testosterone than like pretty much anything else in the ocean. That fish did not die. And I've heard stories of them pulling buoys for like 30 miles. Like,
jeez.
I believe it now. So
that is,
that's
insane.
Probably my best swordfish story. We thought we lost the fish like four times. Like the line went slack. Cause then I thought it rubbed through. Cause on our dart, it was kind of sharp where the line would go through. And I thought for sure it was going to break. And but yeah, I think like 20 something hours into trying to pull this fish up, the line went slack and we thought we lost it. And then Connor's like, look, and it was just on the surface, like 300 feet away, just swimming, like with its fins out of the water, and then just took off and ripped all the gear off the boat. Pretty cool. But yeah, yeah, that's probably my good story there for swords.
Do you have any trips coming up, dude?
For swordfish? Probably. So it's kind of off season right now, but we're going to probably start looking pretty good starting like July, August. That's kind of when we start looking for swords again. They're around sooner, but that's kind of like the time where we start hitting it pretty hard. Yeah, through like November.
Nice, dude. Well, I'm stoked you got into harpooning. It's pretty rad to be able to like say that you're doing that now, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I love it.
So I good. Love it. Well, Ryder, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but shout out your Instagram, social media and stuff for everybody listening in, and we'll get you going.
Yeah, check out my Instagram at Ryder DeVoe, and thanks for having me, Kieran.
Absolutely, dude. Thanks for hopping on. Thanks, everybody, for listening in to today's podcast. Ryder, have a good day, dude.
You too, Kieran. Thanks again.
Thanks for listening in to Above and Below, a Salt Life podcast. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Real Salt Life. If you've enjoyed this episode, rate and review us on Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcast to help spread the word. And remember, stay salty.